that I felt was really important to dive into. But before I say that, if you've done public speaking before and you've prepared yourself well, and then last minute you get a bit of a change in direction, you'll know sometimes it can be a little bit, you know. But that's okay. That's okay, right? Because you remember the story of Stephen, who was heading somewhere, and God said, actually, I want you to go in this other direction. He was caught up in the spirit, and then next minute he's walking alongside a chariot with a eunuch, and shares the gospel. That man gets saved and takes the gospel back to his country, just so that you know, Ethiopia is one of the strongholds of Christianity and Judaism in the world today, just so that you know. So don't be put off if God says, I know you were going south, but I got another plan. Be faithful and follow him. And as I say that prophetically, some of us have been preparing for a direction, but God is saying, wait, God perhaps is trying to say to you recently, wait, I need you to either pump brakes, I need you to move to this way or move to that way. I want to encourage you, trust God. Trust God. You got a great plan, but trust God. Amen? And that, I'm just going to launch. So if I feel like I'm reading, it's because that I am. We prayed for business leaders. There were three groups that I wanted to pray for. Cultural leaders. For business leaders, it was increase in influence. For cultural leaders, redemption. For spiritual leaders, saving souls. What do I mean by these three groups? Well, we had our business leaders up. Now, if you are a cultural leader, what I mean by that is that you have a desire to see your people, your culture, represented strongly in the halls of faith. In other words, you want to see your people come to know Jesus. I stand here as a Māori, but maybe others, because we know we've got a few Māoris here, maybe others would like to stand in that space also. But it's more than just a, wouldn't it be nice? No, it is a call. It is a cry of the heart. I am, yes. So if that's you, you might be whatever nationality or culture, you might be, and I'm not just talking race culture, you may have a desire to reach out to a sector of society, okay? Maybe a youth culture. It may be we're in church, don't get freaked out. Maybe the gay lesbian community. It may be another area of culture that exists in our society, all right? So, but you know you're called to it. You're not just, you know, wishy-washy. It beats in your spirit and it beats on your world. And you know that to do anything less, you know, would just simply... Anyway, I'm talking too much. If that's you, come out. Lester's going, oh, what's going on here? Can we just, if it is a gift that you've been blessed with, would you just lift up your heavenly language and tongues? Thank you, God. Can we also just stretch out your faith towards these guys? And if you want to really support, I want to invite you to the front. When you lay hands on them, and you just impart your life, your faith, your God calling upon them. Right now, God, anointing, fall. Anointing. Fall. anointing in the Holy Spirit fall. Right now, your presence, your power to reach the cultures of this planet for your name, for your glory, for your purpose to see lives reunited with their Maker, that your glory would be seen, that your power would be evident. For those who are here, lift up your hands high. Stretch out your hands real high. There's a download from heaven. I sense it falling upon you even in this moment. Will you receive it? You just open up your hands, open up your heart, open up your mouth, and just simply say, God, I receive your word. I receive your power as I reach my culture for you. See, so the word of the Lord for you guys is God has placed his redeeming spirit, his call to redemption upon every single one of you. He's going to place within you the ability to creatively and appropriately present the redemption story of your Savior to this culture in a world, in a way that makes sense, is attractive, and yields great fruit for the kingdom. Right now, Father, 2020 would be a download on their spirits, Lord. Father, to be the evangelists, the teachers, the preachers, the prophets, all in love with sharing the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Give them a round of applause. That's fantastic. I'm going to save the spiritual souls for later. Is that okay? Spiritual souls. I mean, those that are called to spiritual leadership. Spiritual souls. But prophetically, church, I call out and I call over you success. Prophetically, I call out and I call over you success. As I say these words, I speak to the spirit that has been trying to tell you that you're just getting by. That I don't know, you know, I don't know if I can take any more. I don't know. You can't. So let's just call that what it is. But God in you can and has called you to success. Some great preaching already. You need to help me out here. It's God's plan to protect you, to bring you security, to be your rear guard, and to be your ever-present help as you stretch out this year. This year, let me again declare it over your world, success this year will not and cannot be like years prior. Do you hear me? It can't be. Because let's face it, you're sick of it and I'm sick of it. Let's have a better year. Amen? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge, our strength in times of trouble, and ever-present help. The word refuge means the state of safety and sheltered protection from pursuit, danger, or difficulty. That's what refuge is. The state. That means it could be real or imagined. Hear me? In other words, I could literally be locked behind a walled gate with German shepherds and mounted guns. That could be a refuge. Or in my spirit, in my mind, the Lord is that for me in my world, regardless of what's going on around me in the natural. See, the Lord, he's my state of being, my mind. He is my shelter. He keeps me safe, protected from pursuit, danger, and difficulty. He is my refuge. Listen to me for a moment. Too many of us are trying to get to the walled, natural safety when we should be leaning into the Lord as our safety. See, if you're unsafe, if you are unsafe in your spirit, you'll never be safe in your body. And even when you are safe behind walls, you're still unsafe in your spirit. And that's what destroys your year on year on year. And I declare success in this year. No more will you be running in the natural to find security this year, regardless of what goes on in my world. My safety, my security, my strength, and my refuge is in the Lord. Strength, the capacity to withstand great force or pressure. Woo! The Lord is my refuge and my strength. In Him, I have the capacity. I remember my English teacher once asking me in primary school, "Hey boy, what's this word mean? How do you say this word?" Capacity, sir. Capacity, he said. And I and he said to me, "That's right, boy, and you've got a lot of capacity." The capacity to withstand great force or pressure, that is strength. Where's your capacity? Where's your capacity? Do you throw up? Do you throw up a puffer fish type, you know, picture? You know what that they say, that if you're in the Alaskan wild, because we all are, but if you're in the Alaskan wild and a bear charges you, what you must do is grab something like a branch or anything. You must stick it on your head and you must stand there, and what happens is the bear sees you, but he sees this tall thing on you and believes that you are the tall thing. Now you're bigger than him and leaves. If anybody would like to fund a trip to Alaska so I can try this out. I want to tell you something, as ridiculous as that seems, that's actually a fact. And I believe more than anything else, you've got to have the ability to know that when a great enemy is coming to you, you got the capacity to grab God, put Him on top of you, and just kind of go, now what? Now what? See, because we look at our situation and we kind of go, "Oh no. It's a bear, but actually it's a little cuddly bear that lives on a pillow. It's only just in your world that you think it's bigger." You know, like, come on. I declare success over you this year. That there is nothing that will come against you that you cannot, in God's strength, overcome it. He is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Ever-present means existing at all times, in all places, under every situation. I think that's flipping good, actually, Cam. But I didn't really hear any yahoos or amens. So yeah, just see. Deep in thought, yeah. You were writing. Oh, okay. Ever present, existing at all times, in all places. In every situation, that is my God. I declare success over you. Do you know that when the Lord says that there is nothing that you can do that will separate you from His love, what He was actually saying in that moment is, I walked with you through every single moment of every single situation. And I was there with your strength. I was there with your refuge. I was there at every single moment. And the only reason you hit the wall and defeated, because you just simply didn't have the mana, the I don't know what you call it, but the not gumption, the brains even, to just turn around and trust and believe that what God says who he is who he is, and I lean into that. The Holy Spirit is God's ever-present help, waiting for you to call. You know, the disciples said to Jesus, take us with you. Jesus said, nah, you can't come with me. But where I go, I'll prepare a place for you, and I will send who? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, as a helper at all times, in times of great need. Gang, I know you love Jesus. I know you adore God. But you need to build your relationship with the Holy Spirit much more closely, because he is your ever-present help. See, we love God because he's a reflection to many of us as a father who's right up there, the security, you know, depending on your father. Or we love Jesus because he's like the brother. Got your back, my bro. But we don't know the Holy Spirit, who is the Father and the Son wrapped up as your right hand, as your left hand. Come on, and so we know what God wants to do, and we hear what the Son calls us to do, but we think that we've got to do it all by ourselves. No, no, no. If you want the biggest, stressiest Christian life that you've ever lived in your world, hear from God and get the direction from where Jesus calls you to go, then try to do it yourself. That's the best way to have a stressed out Christianity. The best way is to hear what God has to say. Lean into the Word as Jesus reveals his Word to you. And then say, okay, so Holy Spirit, in this moment, even when I'm victorious, will you be present? Give me the guiding help that I need. Holy Spirit, when I'm falling, will you be present? Will you give me the strength I need? Holy Spirit, when I once again fall into this temptation, will you once again give me the strength to stand up and walk free? Holy Spirit, in the midst of my sorrow and my pain, in the midst of my emotional drought, in the midst of when everything seems to be falling apart, Holy Spirit, will you comfort me? Because I just feel nobody else is and can. But Holy Spirit, will you do it? And he is that ever-present help who provides strength and refuge from every situation. Amen? Let me tell you, when I was 16 years old and a new Christian, I was trying to live out my best life by not doing the don'ts and by trying to do all the do's. You know, we all know the don'ts, right? Right? Don't smoke, don't. This don't. We all know the don'ts. But how many of us know the do's? Like, do pray. Like, do worship. Not when the keyboardist hits the C major 7 and it says, ooh, nice. Not when the worship leader gets up and says, why don't you lift your hands to Jesus? No, no. The do's of worship is regardless of what's going on in my world. And I want to challenge you, because I sense that in the Holy Spirit. When's the last time in your private space you worshipped? I'll tell you what, it's a weapon. It's a weapon going blunt in our generation, and we need to sharpen that weapon. Reading the Word again, I think it was Spurgeon that said, if you took all the dust off the Bibles of the world, it would create a sandstorm. See, I love these things. I really do. The problem is they access more than just my Bible. When was the last time you got into God's Word? Now you've been faithful in that. See, your success is directly related to not just not doing the don'ts, but also doing the do's. See, reading the Word, worshiping, praying, joining in fellowship, both with one to another. And fellowship, listen to me, gang. Fellowship is not rocking up for an hour and a half on a Sunday. Fellowship is having somebody in your world and sharing your life one to another. Amen? At 16 years old, I'm trying to do my world, trying to live a Christian life, trying to do things right. But I had one big problem. You see, I'd been sexually violated by family friend, since I was 5 until I was 11. I was abandoned by my father and my mother, father and my family for 18 months after my mother passed away when I was 11, leaving me at home to care for my 8-year-old brother and 5-year-old sister. I'm 11 years old. At 13, I started acting out violently at school, destroyed property, spitting, lighting fires. It's a Hunt for the World of People reference. Started stealing for fun. Before, I was stealing to provide for my family. Now I was just stealing for fun. At 14, I'm involved in gangs and have developed a drug and alcohol habit and problem. At 15, on November the 6th at 4:30 p.m., I repented and surrendered my life to Jesus. At 16, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, spiritually made whole. But I have hatred, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, sadness, sorrow, unbelief, and a spirit of failure all over my life. But I discovered this verse. God is the ever-present help, a refuge and strength in times of trouble. I want to tell you this morning, it's easy for me to stand here and say, I declare success, I declare success, but I know so many people in this room are like me as a young man, saved, sanctified, yet living in old patterns of life, trying hard not to do the don'ts, trying better to try to do the do's, but really struggling. But I want to say something this morning. God has a word for you. See, success is not something. Success in God and success in the world is not something that runs from you. Success is something that runs towards you if you will serve God and serve God's people. Success will be yours. Now, I know that sounds like you can't be telling me, because let's face it, those people at that last church I was in, they were idiots. You know, to be sure, I'm sitting here wondering about you. You're soon sort of ranking up there as well. But I want to tell you something. God is in the business of trying to get you to serve others, because in serving others, you find your success. I want you to hear that for a moment, because we think to show up in a room and just be present is enough to give you success. But in the kingdom, no, it's not enough. You might think to yourself, here he goes, he's going to hand out, the serving roster, and he wants everybody to serve in kids because we need them. By the way, kids need some. Yeah. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is your success is directly connected to your capability to serve. And don't think rosters for a moment. I'm saying serve people and serve God. Amen? My passage of scripture real quick just simply comes from a story of a young man named Joseph. I know many of you know this story, but I want to tell you it real quick. Story of a young man whose life has a few crazy twists and turns, and how he manages and maintains the ability, to call on God in every situation, good or bad. Okay, this person is Joseph, as most of his story is from about Genesis 37 through to about 41 and so on. But the title of this message this morning, and I'm going to wrap it up in 5 minutes, hang along, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. All right, the title of the message, Success Comes When You Serve, Not When You Swerve. Success comes when you serve, not when you swerve. Quick summary of Joseph's life. His father's name was Jacob. His father had 10 children to 3 different women. He might have been Māori. Just saying. Got plenty of uncles. All right, and brothers. Anyway, his mother's name was Rachel. And she was actually barren. She was unable to have children. God heard her cry. Genesis 37, if you want to look at it. Joseph is born. Wow, gift of God. He has the gift of interpretation. Joseph is favored by his dad, so much so that his brothers literally hate his guts. Any sons in the house? No. But his father spends time to educate Joseph. Joseph's brothers hate him so much that when they see him coming to meet them, they take him captive, they beat him, and they sell him as a slave. He's sold to his master, and God blesses Joseph. Blesses Joseph so much that his master's influence, bank account, everything about him succeeds. Just a hint. Success comes when you serve, not when you swerve. He's falsely accused. His boss's wife thought he was a little bit of a nice bit, a crumpet. But he didn't bow the knee to that temptation. And she said that he raped her and his master threw him in jail. And in jail, God blesses him. In jail, God gives him authority once again. Success comes when you serve, not when you swerve. He interprets two dreams of prisoners whilst in jail accurately, and 2 years later, he gets called up to interpret the dream of one of the greatest kings, of one of the greatest kingdoms. And he ends up ruling as second in command over, at that point, the greatest superpower that the world has ever known. Listen to me, success comes when you serve, not when you swerve. Success is a covering that is owned by someone else, and you get the privilege of wearing it. Listen to me, success is the covering that is owned by someone else, and you get the privilege of wearing it. What do I mean by that? It is God who appoints leaders. It is God who gives us the power to make wealth. See, success is God's, and he places it on and over different ones. And at every point, doesn't matter whether you are Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, Bill Hohepa, doesn't matter who you are, all your success comes from God. So don't think you're going to somehow get the success because you earned it. No, it ain't yours. It's God's. And it's his coat, and he'll give it to you if you know how to serve, not swerve. So where do I say? Well, let me say it simply like this. Joseph served his father well. In other words, that's why he got in trouble. But he got success with his father. Why? Because he managed his father's accounts well, gave honest reports. The reports were, your 10 sons are lazy so-and-sos, and you need to do something about them. And he was like, okay, well, you go talk to them, and then they did something about him. But his success first came at home. Number one, success begins at home. He was 17 years old. I'm going to just point it straight where it needs to go. Children of God. Family of God, how are things at home? Wives, husbands, are you caring for your spouse? Do you have success in your relationship? See, if you can't care for your spouse, you will not care for your clients. What about your kids? See, if you struggle to love those under you, you'll struggle to love those over you. What about your bills? Are you keeping short accounts? Are they good accounts? What about accountability? The word tells us that seed reproduces after itself. Is truth growing truth in you? Are you keeping short accounts? Joseph told his father bad reports of his brother's work, and then his father said to him in trust, go, see, and report. As a 16-year-old, after finding Jesus, I realized that I needed success in my own life before I could expect it in my own world before I could expect it anywhere else. And at 16, I had to forgive and I had to get my house sorted. See, I had already decided that due to my father's abandonment and his womanizing whilst my mother was dying in hospital, I was going to kill him in a very short space of time. And I decided, no, I'm getting my house in order. I'm not going to live in failure. I'm going to live in success. When forgiveness entered my world, so did love. And when love entered my world, so did a desire to see my father come to know Jesus. And I was in privilege of seeing him come to know Jesus. Two, work hard to get your success for those over you. Work hard to get the success for those over you. Genesis 39:2 says, Joseph's master, his only worry whilst Joseph took care of his household, his only worry was what he ordered for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Wow. I don't know about you, but who would love an employee that just was so blessed by your efforts in their business, in church, not that we're an employer, but in the serving, where there is no more worry from that person over you? Think of that for a moment. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest complaints of employers today is, I always feel like I have to be on the job. I always feel like I have to be watching. Success, work hard. Two, work hard to get success for those over you. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, we think those over us owe something to us. They made the mistake in the parable that when the man was looking for workers and he went out at 6 in the morning and got workers to work all day, and then went out at 5 in the afternoon and got workers late in the day, and they all got the same wages, the people who started at 6 somehow thought that they were entitled to more. It wasn't theirs, and it isn't ours. Why don't we just pray, believe, and work hard tirelessly for the success of those over us? Instead of trying to think, what about me? What about us? It isn't fair. I've had enough. Now I want my share. Now, the moment I forgave, and I don't mind saying this, I submitted my life to my father-in-law, who at the time was my pastor, and I worked diligently to see the success of his church. And guess what? Anointing started to pour over my life as a 17, 18-year-old. Number three, every setback is God's setup. You want success? Don't worry about the demotions. They say that if you have a slingshot, the further back you pull it, the further it flies. I want to tell you, stop looking at the setbacks in your world as a handicap, as it's fair. You know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? Nobody really cares, right? But here is Joseph being propositioned. He does what is right. He is told an untruth. His boss is raging, throws him into jail. He goes from being from the uttermost to the guttermost. And the word says, and God was with Joseph and blessed him. See, if you want, no, you don't want it. I'm going to tell you. Success is yours this year. But you should not look down on any demotion, any backward step, any unfair situation, anything that's knocked you from, yeah, but you said this and now it's that, and that's not fair. Because I'll tell you what, it says of Joseph that the prison guard gave him rule over everything. He did, the prison guard worried about nothing. Wow. Wow. Every seed reproduces after itself. Let me ask you these questions. Maybe you're in that place of saying, maybe you're in a place this morning and you're saying, well, what can I do? How can I help? Where will I lead? Can I just say these are the wrong questions? Success questions are, how can I help you succeed? How can I add what I have to help you get higher? If we take what God has laid upon us and hide away because we're afraid that what I've got on me may not be valued by you, what I have may not be appreciated, I want to tell you what, you're living in a small world and success is going to avoid you. But your success is found when you see the promotion of those over you, regardless of your situation, good, bad, or otherwise. As I wrap up this morning, I just want to say that my life and my journey has not been an easy one. That as I look through, as I look back through the passage of time and I see all of the pain and all of the hurt and all of the setbacks in my world, I could easily turn around and say, I give up. But I want to tell you something this morning. My success is based on how I serve, not what I swerve. And I want to tell you it's the same for you today. I leaned into God as a young man with the desire that I was not going to believe the words of my fathers, my uncles, the words of our people who said, shut up, sit back, you won't last long. Oh yeah, we all tried that God thing. But there was something in me that said, no, my whole future is connected to the belief that God loves me and He has a plan for my life. And I did not want to see any of my children repeat the cycle that I was born into. And I praise God today that my family is a success story. It doesn't matter what anybody says or what it all looks like to everybody else. I know the world I've come from and I know the world that I'm living in. And I see what my girls and my son are walking into as a future. Trust me, man, I'm successful. It happens at home first, and it will happen in the rest of my world as well. Won't you stand with me as we wrap off?